everybody. This is Chris Gibson, and you are listening to a brand new edition of Living Healthy, Living Smart. And this show is really exciting for me personally because I am pretty much known as the anti-chemical in a product of any kind on your skin, in your body, in your food person. And it's very nice tonight because I'm going to be bringing to you Miss Toy from Hawaii, Oahu, beautiful, beautiful place. And she is also an expert in this area and has actually made this her main message when it comes to health and wellness. So I'm really excited to have her on tonight. She is a YouTube sensation. She has over 6 million views just for her content information alone, just for her instruction, just for her help and advice. 62,000 followers, nothing to sneeze at on YouTube, let me tell you. So obviously her message is working for people, and this is really exciting. We're going to talk about some things that you need to know, some things that you can do to make changes to be healthier, and we're going to have fun on the show. So with that said, Ms. Toy, I want to introduce you to my listeners and have you tell us a little bit about how in the world you got to where you are with this message of health and wellness. Tell us a little bit about that.
Okay, well, first of all, thanks for having me, Chris. I'm excited to get to know you and the work that you're doing. But yeah, it's been a long road. Really and truly, the message that I'm sending out to people about healthy living and chemical-free living started when I was a child. My mom, she grew everything in our backyard. If it was something in the house that we used, whether it was for food, for beauty purposes, for even health purposes, it came from our backyard. So that's just what I was used to. That's my roots. And so as I got older, of course, you know, you leave home and you start doing what your peers are doing. So you go to the drugstore and you buy what used to be in, you know, just in the cabinet from something my mom grew at home, and you're looking at the ingredients and you're like, I don't remember any of these things mom talking about or putting into lotion, but you take it for granted that it's okay. And then I actually, from an academic background, my major is exercise science, and so they teach you to research everything. And so I decided to research the lavender lotion that looked like it didn't contain any lavender. And so when I started looking at the ingredients and looking them up, researching them, I was surprised at what I was finding. I wasn't finding any of the things that I had grown up with. I was finding chemicals. And some of these chemicals were linked to major health problems, such as cancer, such as neurological disorders. And so that's when I started just getting deeper into it, and I wanted to let people know. And so that's kind of how I got into YouTubing and blogging and talking about this, and just to make people aware.
So it's a good thing that you did do that, because, you know, as I found with my skin history, there are a lot of things and products that, you know, if we knew what they were, if we had them in front of us in a bowl, we would not eat them or put them on our skin. So it's right. Exactly. So it's kind of a shocking thing sometimes, because even today with things labeled organic or labeled, you know, sensitive skin or all natural, the FDA has been cracking down, particularly in the area with children, children's products, because a lot of the all natural really isn't all natural. And some of these components affect hormones and hormonal development in adolescents and pre-puberty, you know, children. So that's a real, real problem. And then, you know, a lot of people that I work with are trying to clean up their diet, trying to do all of these things to live a healthy lifestyle, and then they go about slathering on something that's kind of toxic. So
exactly. Yeah, I think most of us just we common knowledge now is kind of like, look at the ingredients, check to make sure you're eating healthy, but it just goes over our heads to make sure we're putting healthy, safe products on our bodies. So just trying to get people to be more aware of that and to think about what they're putting on their skin, with the skin being the largest organ. It absorbs everything. It goes straight into your bloodstream. At least with what you're eating, you have the filtration of the digestive system. But when you're putting it on your skin, it's going straight into your bloodstream, and it's affecting all types of things that you wouldn't even realize. Even your weight can be affected by some of these.
Yeah, I know a lot of people, a lot of the ladies in my family have a predisposition for thyroid problems. And, you know, when I first started talking about all this 12, 15, some years ago, doctors were kind of like, well, you know, I don't know that, you know, that there's no really scientific proof that that's a problem. Although, I mean, because it was, I talked about it, my family members would bring it up. Now we know that, a lot of these problems have to do with the, ongoing use of products that have sulfites, parabens, all kinds of different products in there, mostly preservatives and volumizers. And because you have to understand, the skincare product industry is billions of dollars worldwide, and they have to take a small amount of ingredient, which costs a lot of money, and they have to stretch it very thin, which will not cost them a lot of money. So when you pick up a package, even in your high-end salons or department stores, you're paying $100, $200 for that package. Realize that the active ingredient is very small, and the majority of what you're getting is a volumizer designed to make enough of the product to keep the cost low for the manufacturer. I know that because I have a patented skincare product. And, you know, we pay a lot more when we produce our stuff than large companies do because, you know, they want to spread it as thin as possible. They want that margin. So, I mean, what in your, you know, in your mind is one of the worst products or worst ingredient product ingredients to have that you're that people put on their skin and don't even think about it?
Wow. I mean, there are so many. I think, you know, this is probably one of the first studies I came across that just set off a red alarm for me, and that was when I came across the study that actually the Campaign for Safe Cosmetics had done. Well, they reported what the FDA had found. And this was a study back in 2007, I think, where they found they tested over 400 brands of popular lipstick and found that they contained high doses of lead. And lead, of course, is a carcinogen. It's a neurological toxin. And I mean, we have unleaded gas, we have unleaded paint, unleaded toys for our children. But they put lead in your lipstick, or they're at least not taking it out. It's a byproduct of the manufacturing, and they don't bother to take it out. And this is something that women put on their lips every day. And, of course, on your lips, you're probably ingesting quite a bit of it, too. And, I mean, yeah, so this is one of the things that really just got the YouTube going for me because I was just shocked. And so, yeah, lead, I mean, the list goes on and on. I think in addition to that, phthalates, which is a common contaminant found in many of our personal care products. And this goes for men just as well as women, in your deodorants, in your lotions, in your shaving cream. And phthalates actually causes affect the thyroid. Mm-hmm. There was a study done by the New York University where they tested children, school-aged children, and found that there are phthalates in their urine. And they measured the amount of phthalates in their urine to their weight and found that the more phthalates that these children had in their urine, the more the closer they were to being obese, if not that being obese. And so the studies just the correlations were pretty much hands down that there was a connection. So these ingredients are having an effect on us. And I know a lot of people just think, well, I'm just using a little bit of this and a little bit of that. But if it's in all of your personal care products and all of your beauty and cosmetic products, and you're using a little bit adds up every day. So I just want people to be aware and to stop where they can or to make adjustments where they can.
Right. Now, that makes total sense. What's really crazy about what you're talking about is that you cannot move into a house, at least not in the United States, that has lead paint in it and not have to sign all kinds of releases and agreements that should you come down with lead poisoning, no one's responsible, that you understand there's lead in the paint and blah, blah, blah. And yet someone can go to any particular store, buy a cosmetic product like lipstick and put lead on their lips.
Exactly. That's just for $6.
Yeah, that's insane. I mean that makes no sense at all. But I mean, unfortunately, when it comes to consumer, consumable products with people, unfortunately, it's like that a lot of the time. I mean, it's like, well, it's such a minuscule part. Well, if you're living in a house that has lead paint and you get a lead paint chip under your fingernail, you can get lead poisoning.
Exactly.
So, and that's a very minute amount. It's not like the paint was made completely out of lead.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're putting a product on your mouth where you're ingesting some of that product, and it has the same poisonous lead in it. It's unreal that would even be possible. And what you're saying about phthalates, and I talk about sulfides. It's, mm-hmm. There's sulfides and body washes and face washes, and people don't realize that's the same stuff that makes your laundry detergent work.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've ever had to wash something with your hands, using laundry detergent, and it doesn't matter if it's a high brand or a low brand. The main active ingredient is those sulfites and sulfates. Sometimes they're listed sulfates. They foam up. They're very astringent. They're very drying. They're very alkaline. And they will burn your skin. And people just, it's like we trust labels to be accurate, and the FDA makes them be accurate. But because a lot of us aren't educated on what the things mean, we don't make the best choices for ourselves a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm.
We don't make the most informed choices for ourselves at the time.
So
what would you recommend from a natural standpoint as a substitute for some of the products that you have come across? There's skin cleansers, there's, as you said, lipstick, there's, makeup,
shaving cream,
body wash, anything. So, I know what my take on it is, but I'm not the guest. You are. So why don't you tell us what you think would be a good way to look. I mean, obviously we need to educate ourselves and look at labels and figure out what we need to avoid. But
that's
what would
hard.
You suggest?
Yeah.
Some
simple ways to do it, because even for me, I mean, you dig through study after study, and this information is not necessarily easy to find. And when you do find it, it's not necessarily easy to understand. I have to look up a scientific word from a scientific word from a scientific word. So there are simpler ways, and that's where my YouTube channel has come. I just try to bring this stuff down to earth and make it something that people can really apply in their lives in an easy, convenient way, because that's what most of us, American consumers want. We want something easy. We want something quick and convenient. That's why we go and buy these products, taking it for granted that they're safe. And so what I've done on my channel, there are a lot of do-it-yourself videos. Because really and truly, you can make pretty much any type of personal care product you need, including makeup, out of some simple things that are in your kitchen, and you will be able to know exactly what you're putting on your body, exactly how much of it, and pennies on the dollar compared to what you pay for in the in the stores. And so that's one thing that I do. I just teach people to use some things that they already have. Something as simple as honey, you can use that as a facial mask, you can use that as a hair conditioner, and really and truly it usually works better than what you buy in the stores. But even at that, if you're not a do-it-yourselfer, there are things you can do just to cut back on some of the toxins. Usually what you use for your soap to wash your body, what you use for your face to wash your face, what you use to wash your hair with, those are usually made of the same ingredients. So I say pick one and consolidate and use that for your shampoo, face wash, and your body wash. You'd be surprised how you can just consolidate some of your products and not have to be using so many different ingredients, which can cause problems in the long run. So that's where I encourage people to go to my YouTube channel, because that's basically the type of information I'm telling you how to keep this simple and healthy, how to use the resources that you already have at home to make what you want and what you need to take care of yourself and to look the best possible.
All right. So you can save money and stay healthy by replacing some of these products with things that you can make at home. And lot of that stuff's very effective. The other thing about skincare products, I always talk about the drawer of no return, of all the products that people buy and try, and then they don't work well, and they throw them into the drawer, never to be seen again, simply because they don't want to part with something they spent a bunch of money on. If they run out of something, they'll go back to it or whatever, but it never really worked. And products, even with preservatives, have a shelf life in skincare. And, you know, we hear a lot about peptides, which are great. We hear a lot about vitamin C, which does a lot of great things for the skin. We hear a lot about alpha hydroxy and beta hydroxy acids, which are wonderful for regenerating the skin and keeping it, the exfoliation process going on. But those products, peptides, all of those things, by nature, with the exception of the mineral group, which is the coppers and, you know, magnesium and those kind of things, they have a short life. So when you're actually making the product fresh, or you're buying it from a reputable natural skincare company, they're going to have a shelf life that you need to, you know, work with, because they're going to lose the efficacy after a while, because they're natural products. And I know that a lot of the stuff, to be honest, we hear about dead food. I always talk about dead skincare products, because, you know, it may say it's got vitamin C in it, but it's been heated and split and mixed with all this other stuff, so that while it may be in there, the reason you're not getting any results is it's neutralized. It can't do anything. And you're paying $100 for that, right? So
yeah, exactly.
So let's talk about people, because I'm sure that you have people who come to you that have skin issues, just like I do. What things do you, let's say I'm a client of yours, I see you on YouTube, or I read about you somewhere, and I am struggling with acne breakouts, or maybe I have kind of rough, sallow skin, or just my skin and my complexion is not in good shape. What would be a few things that you would tell someone to start doing to make that better, to improve their complexion?
And usually people in that situation where they are having just chronic breakouts, chronic skin issues, like you said, they have the graveyard of skincare products that they've been going through for years and nothing is working. And basically what that tells me is that you need to work with this from the inside out. It's something inside of your body that's not, you know, getting what it needs. And that's where the problem is. It's not about slapping something else on your face. So if you're having chronic skin issues such as acne or even eczema, psoriasis, all of these things can many times stem from a nutritional deficiency. So I say, look at what you're eating. Detox every now and then, you know, put lemon in your water and make sure you're getting, you know, these toxins flushed out of your body, because they're bombarding us from everywhere. You know, the air that we breathe, the water that we drink, the products that we're using, the food that we eat, we're getting toxins left and right. So you have to keep that stuff flowing out of you. So detoxing on some level on a regular basis, and making sure that you're getting, you know, solid, balanced nutrition from your food, which most of us aren't. So, you know, make sure you're shopping at the health food store. Shop somewhere where you know where you can get quality produce, quality food, not just processed dead food, like you were saying. So I always say, you know, look at first go from the inside out, and you'd be surprised if you get that straight, your nutrition and, you know, getting the toxins out of your body, your skin, and any hair issues, any other issues, beauty problems, it will take care of itself. You really don't have to slap anything else on your face to fix something.
Right. You know, it's funny because I approach skincare from the inside out. I usually talk all about diet and dietary habits. And everybody's body and system is so unique that there's different things that affect different people. I mean, like some people can eat tons of sugar, which is terrible for your skin. I mean, there's studies showing how it degrades the replication of skin cells so that it actually helps age you quickly. Mm-hmm. Sugar on the skin isn't bad, but sugar in the system that gets into the cell is bad. So it's like, you know, there's so many things you can do with food. And just eliminating. I'm really big on, you mentioned cleanses. I'm really big on like short fasts, like the apple fast is one I'm kind of famous about. There's a 3-day fast I talk about. It's apples and water only, and it cleans people out completely. It stops all other food sources coming in. It's high in pectin. It absorbs a lot of toxins on the way out. It's kind of jumpstarts your digestive system so that you're passing things quickly, which you should be anyway. And a lot of people are amazed that they lose a few pounds. That kind of freaks them out. And that their skin responds to that so well. But the skin is their largest eliminatory organ next to your lungs. You know, it's your skin, your lungs, your kidneys, and your liver. So those are all things removing toxins from your body. And if you're loading it down with all kinds of, you know, chemicals and preservatives, and you have a sensitivity in your immune system. Say you have candida overgrowth, which is a yeast overgrowth because you've been taking a lot of antibiotics. That stuff can really take a toll on your health. And so, you know, that's the unfortunate thing, because you're talking about cleaning up the diet and I'm talking about cleaning up the diet, and then people go and buy all these products that are just insane. I have a hard time buying sunscreen. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because I will look at the ingredients in it, and even the sensitive skin or sunscreen for children will still have a lot of things in it that I don't like to put on my skin, especially when it's going to be exposed to the sunlight.
Exactly.
Because there was so much, you know, that came out a couple years ago about the fact that a lot of the sunblock that is produced has product in it that becomes carcinogenic when exposed to sunlight. Yeah, counterintuitive, right? I mean, here you are trying to protect yourself from cancer, and you're putting on a cancer-causing chemical, especially that's activated when it's exposed to sunlight. So that was a kind of dramatic thing with the FDA, and they really cracked down on sunscreens after that the last couple of years. And the other thing is, like, understanding how nutrients work, like vitamin A and vitamin C react in sunlight. I mean, you do need some sun. I don't know if you agree with this or not.
No, I do, absolutely. And I'm so glad you said that, because
people like slather this stuff on, and two things happen. They forget at some point. Someday you're in a hurry, you forget, and you got burned.
Yeah.
So that just erased anything you did for yourself, cancer-wise. Or they are blocking out the natural process of vitamin D, which leads to weaker bones, leads to more predisposition of certain kinds of cancer, which I lived in the north. I'm from Texas originally. I lived in Pennsylvania for 15 years. Mm-hmm. I had seasonal affective disorder big time after I moved up there. It took me a couple of years to figure that out, that what was wrong with me in the winter, because the light is so much dimmer. And now I'm down in Florida, and you can really feel the difference. And I try to tell people, one, you need to be careful what sunscreen you use. It needs to be made from natural ingredients like safflower oil, olive oil, and zinc, which is a, you know, it's a mineral that protects your skin from the sun. Been around, the Egyptians were using zinc, so not to get burned. So those products are fine, but when you start slathering that other stuff on, and it does those two things. And the other thing is that your skin needs some kind of sunlight. We're not cave dwellers. We don't live underground. So we need some. And you can choose the early morning, late afternoon. You don't have to go out at 2:00 in the afternoon and bake yourself.
Exactly.
15 minutes. I believe what I read was 15 minutes of sunlight on your forearms and face or back of the neck. A lot of people go, oh, face, it'll make me old. But but 15 minutes is all you need.
Exactly. The early morning sun is actually good for you. I mean, I've even heard of people doing what they call sun gazing. And it's just another way to get nutrition into your body.
Or watching the sunset at the beach. But a lot of people do that here. And they feel good. It feels good. And you need that. And so everything is sort of a balance. And you don't have to be radical. But, you know, I always say you got to look at what's in something. And if you don't understand what the ingredient is, it's so easy to look that stuff up. You can go to the FDA's website, and they have a search tool. And you can type in any chemical product, and it will give you the entire history that they have on it. It's that simple, really.
It really is, yeah. And even the campaign
for...
I'm sorry, go ahead, Chris.
No, go ahead. No, that's great. The campaign for?
The campaign for Safe Cosmetics, they have a wonderful skin deep database where you can actually type in a specific product that you're looking at if you're not sure. And they will tell you the level of they have their own scoring system and tell you how safe that particular product is. So I use that as a resource myself when I don't have time. They have an app you can put in your phone and have when you're shopping with you.
Yeah, and you know, skincare companies, I don't want to say just the companies, the manufacturers of this stuff are very creative with what they call things. So, you know, it's even today I will pick up something and go, okay, never heard of that one before. And I will go look that up, and usually it's a new name for something that's been around for a while. You know, it's like the whole organic food thing. That's a very wide very wide envelope of whatever can be under organic. Well, you know, you can effectively say, really, and this has been the argument of companies, you can effectively say that if it's grown on the earth,
it's natural. Exactly.
If it's a chemical that we extracted from something and chopped it up, burned it, added to it, changed the molecular structure, made it do all this weird stuff, it's natural. You could also say nuclear war is natural, right?
Absolutely.
Because, I mean, it's of the Earth. It's not like we went to Mars and got something and brought it back. So that is, but people, you laugh, but, you know, that is the argument that's used in the courts.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, these skincare companies, that is their argument, is that, look, you know, what we produce is natural. We just take natural ingredients and we team them up or we change them in such a way to afford better results. And what a lot of people don't realize is the FDA is, in this area, they're very careful with things, and that a skincare product cannot penetrate any further than the outer layers of your skin.
Mm-hmm.
So here, that brings up the next thing I want to talk about, which is, if that's true, how effective are your skincare products? Because they can't go but just so far into your skin. And, you know, that's another thing that everyone that I think needs to educate themselves on. I talk a lot about exfoliation. So skincare products work better, the natural ones. What are your thoughts on that? I mean, the fact that most commercial products are very limited in the amount of active ingredient they can have, because there is that FDA rule that says you cannot penetrate the derm any further than the outer dermis of the skin.
Absolutely. That's exactly right. So if you're not going to a professional spa and getting an esthetician to treat your skin with professional grade, you know, pharmaceutical grade products, or, you know, those type of ingredients that are smaller in molecular structure, you're pretty much wasting your money. You're just putting more toxins to get into your bloodstream. It's a waste of money, and I hear that complaint time and time again. I don't know why this product is not working for me. It's supposed to do this and this and this, and that's why it doesn't penetrate deep into the dermis. But when it comes to natural products, of course, they can be more active because they are natural. You have the live enzymes still working for you. But you can choose things that have essential oils, which are small in molecular structure, and they do absorb to a deeper level. So there are ways to penetrate without, you know, using toxic pharmaceutical grade ingredients and products, you know, using essential oils and products that are still have live enzymes to them. So yes, probably if you're buying something from the drugstore for $20, you are pretty much wasting your money. Not only are you buying preservatives, water, it's not even getting into the skin the way you need it to make a difference.
I call all this that we're talking about right now freaky chemicals in your skincare.
Exactly.
You know, and they are in there, and they have to be regulated. And I'm big on essential oils. I'm big on tea tree oil for antiseptic purposes. I'm big on olive oil, which is one of the few oils that actually can penetrate the skin and moisturize a lot of the other things. Anything that's made petroleum cannot do that. Although there are times when a mineral oil like a Vaseline is actually useful in really severe dry skin in order to hold the moisture in. But just realize that that is not a product that's penetrating anything. It's just holding in moisture with an outer coating. I usually have people avoid mineral oil because it can be very irritating to the skin.
And then I do like people to still, you know, keep everything in balance, because something is natural, that doesn't mean it's absolutely good for you either. You still have to do your research on the natural end of things. Natural products are usually more active, so you want to always do a patch test to make sure that you won't have an allergic reaction, because like you were saying earlier, Chris, everybody's body is different. Everybody has a different chemistry. So what will work for you may not work for me, even if it is natural. And then in some cases, maybe you do want some type of preservative in something that you made. I always encourage people to use an essential oil in the natural products that I have on my YouTube channel for the do-it-yourself recipes, because you do want some type of preservative, something to kill, to make it antibacterial, antimicrobial, because you can do damage in other ways.
Right. It's just like, you know, it's interesting. Like, I give an example of one of the most powerful natural, all-natural plants that we have that can cure you of lice, scabies, skin mites, all kinds of things that go on in the skin, and it's chrysanthemums.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And, you know, when people get that, what you buy, that cream that you buy, is chrysanthemum oil and a, you know, and some sort of carrier cream, like a petroleum, you know, lotion or something that holds it onto the skin. So that's how powerful natural things can be. Mm-hmm. I mean, seriously, you know, insecticidal soaps are made with essential oils. You spray that out on your plants and insects try to eat that and do not survive that. So those things can be powerful. And, you know, a lot of times people think just because it's natural, it's weak.
Yeah.
Not really. I had a client who had a skin infection that I recommended oregano oil, which is very powerful oil. Mm-hmm. It's very good when used on a small, small area. Well, this person, as a lot of us often do, went overboard and applied it to about 25% of his body. Oh, no. So not only did he smell like, an oregano oil has a peppery smell. It doesn't smell like the herb when you're cooking with it. It's a very distinct, very sharp pepper smell. That being said, it also burns.
Exactly.
And so instead of applying it just to the area, he just applied it to this huge part of his skin. Now he was fine. It didn't hurt him, but you know, it caused a lot of irritation. It caused a lot of embarrassment because it stunk. Mm. You know, tea tree oil is another one. Tea tree oil is another one that I recommend to people all the time. Used in a very small amount. I'm talking about you take a Q-tip and dip it in the oil and apply a light coating of that. You know, it's another very strong oil. And it, I mean, it's a great product because you can put it. There are fish tank products, like fish that get ick and other things on mm-hmm. them. The Melaleuca, which is the natural name for that tea tree oil, will actually can cure them of many fungal things. I've seen tea tree oil cure toenail fungus. Mm-hmm. But you have to look at the whole body. You have to look at the cause. You know, usually in people are having yeast and fungus issues, they've got candida going on and need to like cut back on sugar and, you know, yeast products and wheat and all that stuff so they can get it under control. But, I mean, there are so many natural ways and natural choices that you can make. And generally, they're inexpensive.
Exactly.
I mean,
best
you know,
thing.
A bottle of tea tree oil, like Melaleuca oil, pure Melaleuca oil might cost you $20 or $30 for a bottle because it's pure. It's not cut with anything. But that stuff will last you like 5 years. The shelf life on that stuff is very long, and it will cure. You can put it on your pets. Mm-hmm. You can put it on you. Once a sore, like say you got a scrape or an abrasion, once that's started to heal over and it's no longer a wet sore, you can apply tea tree oil and it will speed the healing up by days.
Exactly.
And I've seen people have had sores that would not finish healing, use that, and the sore completely disappear within a matter of a few mm-hmm. days. So there's all kinds of, you just have to kind of research and learn and kind of build your own arsenal. And tea tree oil is another great one for scalp issues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, dandruff,
hair,
yes.
You know, dandruff, a lot of baldness and a lot of hair problems with men and women have to do with fungal infections. You know, we hear all about the male pattern baldness and this and that. And that does, there is a thinning, but general loss of hair doesn't really happen until middle age. So if you're a young person and your hair is falling out all over the place, you know, before you go pop the Propecia and all the, you know, put the what is that stuff they have at that chemical they put on people?
The Rogaine.
It's been around. Rogaine. Before you, not that those things are necessarily bad. I'm not saying you don't mm-hmm. do them, but try using some natural methods. Try using some coal tar shampoo, which is a black shampoo that has, it's where they make petroleum from it. It's a very high antifungal, and it's been shown to regenerate the hair cells. And shampoo with tea tree oil in it stops dandruff and stops fungus. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people have a lot of success with exactly. that. And then don't have to go on the medications. They're amazed that it works
exactly.
that way.
Exactly. And that's the thing. I think like what you're saying, a lot of people just aren't even aware that there are some healthier, natural, safe alternatives as opposed to, I guess, since Rogaine and those, you know, those products are just so heavily marketed, that's just, it's in our subconscious almost, that's the first thing you think to go to, as opposed to doing some research and finding a safe, healthy, natural way to cure those problems.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I agree. So let's tell everybody how they can find out more about you. If you could give us your website, your YouTube website, or how you would like people to find you, contact you, learn about you. Tell
Absolutely.
Us that.
Well, the easiest way to find me and all of my do-it-yourself recipes and all of the information that I come across and bring to earth for everybody to make it simple, you can find me at mistoi.com, and that's mstoi.com. And from there, you can get to the YouTube channel. I'm very active on Facebook. I'm on there every day with new stuff, new recipes, new beauty tips. So definitely check me out on Facebook as well. But you can get to all of that from mistoi.com.
Awesome. Well, I really appreciate you being on with us this evening. I mean, this is a lot of great information, and we could go on for hours.
Yeah. Well, thanks for having me. And thanks for the work that you do, Chris. Absolutely. I'm a fan of yours.
I appreciate that. I mean, the whole thing is to help people get well, stay well, and live a very happy and active lifestyle. You know, and understanding that the little, I always say the little tiny choices we make, most of them unconscious, day in and day out, are what add up to the reality that we have or that we end up with. So the more you can be aware and present in the moment, the more that you can know about what you're doing and the choices you're making, the better your odds are of a happy and healthy long life. So, I mean, that's kind of the goal of the whole thing. You know, we want to save you money, certainly by giving you alternatives, but more so than that, we want you to understand, the listener to understand, the effects that things have on you so that you can make better choices. So I encourage everybody to go check out Miss Toy's website. Check her out on YouTube. The videos are great. The information is great. I'm going to have you back on again for sure in the future. And what I want to say to everybody, I always say this and leave you all, our listeners, with this. Go out there and live a healthy and passionate life.